So there was a time when listening to music meant the one traveling troubadour or maybe your pop played the fiddle. Later on, it meant radio or the three or four new releases each week that you'd get in the local record shop. But now it means, according to the latest SoundScan statistics, a million billion records a week. And since we can't get deep into all the new recordings on New Music Tuesday, let us take a second and briefly sample some of the offerings. Consider it a poo-poo platter playlist.
Quickly then to Los Angeles noise rock band No Age, who puts out their debut album, Nouns. Jump on the tune. British sleaze pop merchant Craig David samples David Bowie on Trust Me.
Yeah, work for Vanilla Ice. And now we have the Long Blondes. They're not Blondie. They're not the Four Non-Blondes or Concrete Blonde or Blonde Redhead or the Von Bondies. They're the Long Blondes, and they have certainly picked a distinctive name. As for their sound, here's a bit from their new album, Couples. And putting the poo in our poo-poo platter is Clay Aiken. I've seen the best, I've seen the worst. I wouldn't change what I've been through. I touched the sky, I hit the wall, but I did what I had to. Now for the main course. Andy Langer, pop critic for Esquire magazine, is on the line. Hey, Andy.
Tough. What do you need me for now?
Tough
you got
to
those
follow.
Second clips.
Tough to follow Clay Aiken, Andy.
Really we heard tough. The best. We heard the worst. I don't know. You want to characterize that song? I don't know. Okay. First up, let's talk about Elvis. Elvis Costello. We talked about this record a couple of weeks ago. And I think the time frame was a couple weeks ago, Elvis released it on vinyl, but we couldn't play it because the label didn't send it out in advance. Lost Highway puts Mamoufoku out today, good old-fashioned CD. On his website, Costello wrote that releasing this record on vinyl was, quote, how it sounds the best, with a needle and a groove, the way the supreme being intended it to be. By the way, are you a vinyl acolyte?
Well, I mean, I do like vinyl, but the idea of a vinyl-only release in 2008 is quaint but not particularly useful.
All right. Well, let's see what you have to say about the album. Let's hear a little of Elvis. In the not very distant future, when everything will be free, that's the first track on the record called No Hiding Place. So, Andy, that vinyl thing, is that a gimmick, or does this sound really great on vinyl? Does this sound really great anyway?
I think it's part gimmick. I mean, part sort of the way this album came together was, you know, Jenny Lewis of Rilo Kiley invited Elvis down to a session, and then he was so inspired that he went and made this record in 6 days. And I think it's just part of the nobody expected a new Elvis Costello record, so if he puts it out on vinyl 2 weeks early, who cares? Because
right.
You can pull that stunt when no one's really expecting a new record anyway. The idea that this is just sort of a tossed-off record makes it this rock record that, again, nobody expected, and it's a really solid start-to-finish, just quickly blown through rock songs, and it's sort of the Elvis that you wish you'd seen in the last, like, 14 or 16 albums.
When he was, what, trying too hard or putting too much production in, not just letting her rip?
Well, I mean, he's done everything from jazz to symphonies to real...
To Burt Bacharach.
Yeah, and this is just sort of a classic Elvis Costello record. And if it took Jenny Lewis to inspire him, more power to Jenny Lewis. But this is a serious rock record. The ballads even have some sting to them. He wrote one with Roseanne Cash. He's got another one written with Loretta Lynn. You know, there's folks like Jonathan Rice on the record. So they're fully fleshed out songs, and it's sophisticated musically, but it's a rock record. And it's a Elvis Costello rock record that couldn't have come, you know, at a better time. Because, look, you got Robert Plant and Alison Krauss out there. You've got Tom Petty with Mudcrutch. All these guys with sort of late career revivals that are worthwhile.
So you mentioned Roseanne Cash and a bunch of Elvis's famous friends. Is their presence really felt, or are they just doing brief cameos?
Well, I mean, they're brief cameos, but they're sort of gang choruses on a lot of these tunes, and there is, you know, his band is there, but these other folks are there either, you know, lending a line here or there, or a gang chorus. But again, it's a rock record. There's not a lot of, you know, pretty fancy duets, and that's good.
Does it compare to Get Happy, Armed Forces, the great Costello of the 70s and 80s?
Well, I mean, it compares favorably, but not, you know, it's not going to be in that class. But for an Elvis Costello record right now, this is the one you want.
I like it.
We please move on to
the favorite? Yeah, okay. Well, we were talking about the, you know, greatest critical darling in rock music, Elvis Costello. Now let's talk about another guy, Neil Diamond. First of all, Andy, could you explain to us why Neil Diamond is experiencing something of a comeback?
Well, I mean, you know, Neil Diamond never really went away, and that's, you know, for better or worse, that's true. I mean, you know, the comeback starts with the Rick Rubin record, I suppose. If there's a comeback and it's the first Rick Rubin record, it's 12 songs, it's 2 years ago, and, you know, it's Rick Rubin who can retool a career and, you know, basically by just stripping you down and selecting a few songs. He had Neil Diamond write for the last record, and it was kind of awkward because Neil Diamond never sounded comfortable on that record, but it did sort of bring him to a new audience, and not the new audience that he's found on American Idol, but a younger audience than perhaps he was used to. And now you've got this new Rick Rubin produced record, a second one, and it's stripped down too, like its predecessor.
So if Rick Rubin was maybe, it sounds like you heard, he was kind of twisting Neil by the ear saying, trust me, and Neil was hesitating, what's their relationship sound like on the songs on this album?
Much more comfortable. On the other hand, you know, this is a record that's dark and desperate and miserable and not real good.
That's not glittery like a diamond. Well, let's hear a little of this new album.
Go ahead.
Pretty amazing grace is what you showed me. Pretty amazing grace is who you are. I was an empty vessel. You filled me up inside. And with amazing grace restored my pride. Pretty amazing grace is how you saved me. And with amazing grace, reclaim.
I mean, I'd say just keep playing it on and on, but I know we have to move on.
No, Rachel,
I was an empty vessel, and you filled me. Archuleta writes better than that.
Poetry,
never seen that
pure kid. Poetry.
It seems like it would work for Johnny Cash because he has the dark side, and Rick Rubin did it with him. But
Neil's
you're not
dark,
it.
Mike. He's dark.
No, honestly, Rachel, you're a Neil Diamond fan. Is he still rating 7 on most scale of hardness for you?
I have to tell you, I really like this album.
All right.
I know.
Take it from a fan.
The Natalie Maines duet is a must download.
I like her. Yeah, see? It's dark.
The next record is called Fair Ain't Fair, and it's by Tim Fight. Tim Fight's MySpace page calls his music alternative/country/hip-hop. Is that an inducement to listen, in your opinion, Andy?
It is. He was originally a Caucasian rapper, and Little T and One Track Mike was his band back in the day, that his hip-hop group that actually did okay on Atlantic for about 6 minutes. And he's made 3 solo records. Last year, he made this record, Over the Counter Culture, which was a hip-hop record and was sort of this anti-consumerist manifesto that he distributed free online, because you can't really sell an anti-consumerist manifesto. And this one's less political.
Sort of steal this album, yeah.
Yeah, this one's less political, more introspective, and there are pieces of this that are outright brilliant.
All right, well, maybe this is one of those pieces. It's a song called Big Mistake.
Tell me a dirty joke and I'll laugh it off lightly. If I tell you a dirty joke, you might not like me. Everyone gets to make one big mistake. And if you're waiting on me, well, I guess you're gonna have to wait. Timing is everything.
Okay, I think I heard a little of the Happy Trails, Get Along Little Doggy type of beats in the background. Was that song a good indication? It didn't sound that country. I heard the electro blips.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's country in that there's, you know, there's pedal steel on here,
right.
And there's, you know, it's not a country record by any stretch. It's a singer-songwriter record from a guy who, you know, obviously likes Tom Waits, Nick Cave, a little bit of Beck in there, and it's bluesy, it's folksy, it's funky at times, but it's one of those records that just makes you smile, and you know that Tim Feit, whether he's selling a lot of records or not, is going to be around making records for a long time, and that's the impression this record gives you.
How are the lyrics?
The lyrics are great. I mean, that's the thing, is he's got this clever phrasing and wordplay that come from having his foot in hip-hop, but they work within the singer-songwriter context.
Sounds like a smart album that's also fun to listen to.
It is.
Firewater, The Golden Hour, our next choice. Firewater is a pseudonym for Todd A., an indie musician who records, I don't know, he does some weird stuff. Why don't you tell me a little bit about Tom A.?
Well, he's formerly of Cop Shoot Cop, and he went on a 3-year sabbatical after Bush was reelected and went to the Middle East, the Indian subcontinent, Southeast Asia, made a 1-hour documentary about his travels that's on this CD as a bonus portion. But he ended up in Pakistan at the Afghan border and was going to cross over, but health issues and a fear of kidnapping kept him from actually going. But he recorded pieces of this in India, in Pakistan, in Israel. And it's, quote, world punk, and it works. You know, this is a record that's built out of a foundation of sort of anti-Bush sentiment, but is witty and smart and isn't just a whiny protest record.
Really? So among some of the best Afghan, Indian, Pakistani, Israel album world punk that you'll get this year?
Exactly.
Top of that list? All right, let's hear a little bit of it. A song called This Is My Life.
I dig that.
A little growly. Maybe, you know, it's not fair. We're playing 40 seconds. I don't know if there's lyrical brilliance on this record, but is that a fair indication of the sorts of things we'll get from Todd A., or,
yeah,
as he calls himself now, Firewater?
Think Graceland meets American Idiot, and you're sort of halfway there. I mean, it is a protest record, but it's also a what can I do with other folks from other worlds and
building bridges
and
music.
And the musicians that he used, are they real indigenous musicians of these places, or were they session musicians who just know how to play different kinds of songs? Do you know?
No, these are the real deal indigenous people that he went out and sought out along his travels. And so in that sense, it's very authentic. He came back and finished the record. It's not like he made the entire thing there, but he did pick up these little pieces throughout his travels. And, you know, in today's world where you can make a record on your laptop and, you know, never leave whatever room you started it in, at least he did the legwork.
Andy Langer, himself a bastion of authenticity and pop music critic for Esquire. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
Yep, you got it. Thanks.
That does it for this hour of the BPP, but we don't go away online. We are always there at npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Rachel Martin, going to download me some Neil Diamond.
It's your funeral. I'm Mike Pesca. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'll stick with Elvis.